Hello and welcome to the Pugsley Crew Reviews podcast, where we talk about all manner of films, whether they're good, bad, or, well, anything in between, really. We'll watch them and give you our opinions. Today, we are joined again by Kerr9000. How are you doing, Kerr?
I'm all right, chap. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You been playing any games recently? Watching any films?
Well, game-wise, I've just finished. I say finished because I saw the credits. Donkey Kong Bonanza, which I absolutely loved.
I need to finish it. I need to get back to it. It's enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, it's a good game. I mean, I didn't play it at first because I got it at the same time as I got Shadow Labyrinth, the weird Pac-Man Metroidvania.
I need to get back to that, too.
Well, I got dead far into that, and then it's a bloody hard game. Yeah. So I sort of segued across to something that wasn't going to make me want sort of smash my new system up.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they've actually released patches now to make it easier, because apparently everyone's been struggling and complaining.
Yeah, right, I'll have to get to it. Not that I was struggling with it, because I was fairly early on in, but I just need to get back to it, because it seems pretty cool.
I think it'd be a nice little twist on Pac-Man, you know? It'd be a lot better for you now, because one fault is, if you sat your system down on sleep, it kept recording that you were playing game time. So your clock isn't the truth. And mine says about 60 hours, because I think I fell asleep one night with it on standby. And it obviously recorded all that time as play time.
But then,
there's other stuff like where items were more expensive and they've reduced the price now. There were some glitches that are gone. There were some bits that were very tight for time where they've added 20 seconds to make it manageable. So apparently it cuts down on a lot of frustration.
That's good. That is good, because obviously you want it to be, you know, an enjoyable experience, not a bullshit one.
Anywho,
today we're going to be talking about a film with James McAvoy in it called Speak No Evil. I knew very little of this film. I remember when I went to the cinema a few years ago, I actually think I saw trailers for it. And that was about it. But I didn't really pay attention to it. The only thing I thought is when they showed the kid saying he's got something wrong with his tongue, I was like, yeah, no, they've cut his tongue out. There's no way he's got a deformed tongue. They've done that. And it turns out they did. Spoilers. From the beginning. We mentioned that this week we're going to be talking about a film that has the actor who played Charles Xavier in it. This was the film, because last week we did a film which had the guy who played Magneto in it. The younger ones, not the older ones, obviously.
Yeah. I think anything with James McAvoy is worth a watch, because he just is a hell of an actor.
Yeah, I found him really good in that.
Yeah.
For the most part, he plays like pretty straight, like normal, and then he has like these little off moments, and then at the end he just goes full on psycho. It's great.
Yeah.
Well done.
He's very good at making you like on edge at like, is he joking, or is he being sinister, or... And that really works for this.
Mm. Yeah, especially with the type of film there is. And obviously how he turns out at the end.
This is a remake of a Danish film which only came out in 2022.
Yeah, when I was looking online for just information for this film specifically, just so I can put the information on the overlay, I noticed there was a Speak No Evil from 2022, and I was like, ah, right, so this is a remake, is it? But I know nothing of...
Yeah, that was like an award-winning show, a film that was shown at the Sundance Festival and stuff. Danish actors, but it's all in English. You can watch it.
All right.
But typical Hollywood, you know, or we can do it and have it, you know, in normal... Well, I was going to say English-American, whatever you want to say. With actors people will know of, and will make more money with it.
Yeah, that is basically it, isn't it?
Yeah. Although it does totally flip the ending.
Oh, right, okay. I'm guessing in the ending, the family gets killed then in the original, and you get away with it in this.
And it's quite interesting that the director of this one decided he'd change it, because when he changed it to British and American families, because in the original, I think it was like Dutch and Danish.
Right.
The attitude was like, well, I can't remember, is it the Dutch or the Danish are a placid people.
Right.
Who sort of not fight back, whereas Americans are like, you might kill me, but I'm going to go down swinging.
Yeah.
So that was sort of part of the idea of changing the fact they'd fight back and live.
That's interesting.
But it's all based off the fact that, and I'm going to butcher his name, but Christian Kafdrup, who was the guy that came up with it, he'd met a Dutch couple on holiday with his wife. And although both of the couples got along, he received an invitation to go across and see this couple. And he sort of toyed with it in his mind and thought, do I go, do I not go? And then he came up with this like nightmare scenario, worst case thing. Well, what if I went and they were twisted and they were out to kill me? And then the original film came from that idea.
That's mad. That's brilliant.
I think that's where some of the best horror comes from. It's from real life horror, things that actually you've thought about and scare you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like body snatcher stuff. What if the people you know weren't the people you know and you couldn't tell? And
yeah. Yeah, I get that. I understand it all. It's like scary things like it and stuff. You know, it's not, things like that don't happen. It's not going to happen. Yeah, you could have a killer clown, but it's not going to be the way it is with a scary, bloody monster thing.
No.
And that sort of thing. But where it's like, oh, this really nice family that invite you around to their house turns out to be some sort of fucking insane people who want to kill you and steal your child. That can happen. That probably has happened.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Like, we watched a film before, didn't we, where, I can't remember where it was, but there was a woman who was kidnapping children and one of them escaped.
Yeah.
And that was this similar kind of thing, wasn't it? But something that could happen.
Was that the one that had Sylvester McCoy from Doctor Who in it?
No, that was the one where they broke into... Sylvester McCoy was in the one where they broke into his house and then he turned out to be fucking psychotic.
Yeah. It was similar in that it's somebody that comes across as nice. Oh, strangely, Sylvester McCoy said he was a doctor in that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he was a nutter, and this guy claims to be a doctor. So there is a...
Yeah, correlation there.
Sort of, yeah.
You can't trust doctors, man. They might be secret killers. I did like it, though. It's like, oh, I'm glad we got a doctor in the house later on in the film. He's like, doctor? Yeah, we've got a doctor here. And he's like... You told me you were a doctor. He's like, did I? I'm not a doctor. And then he's like, we're only kidding. Your face is, but he isn't a doctor. He's just a psychopath.
Apparently, McAvoy hadn't watched the original and he decided that he wouldn't watch it until he'd made this, because he didn't want to basically just copycat the other one. But he did decide that he was going to model what he describes as the toxic masculinity of his character on a real-life person. Who do you think he modelled it on?
Oh, a fucking guy. What's his name? I can't remember his name. The ex-boxer, I think.
He modelled it on Andrew Tate.
That's the fucker. I think he's a boxer, isn't he? Andrew Tate, I thought it might be. Yeah, I don't blame him.
No, you can see it. And I do think this one, where they said that the other one was based on different countries, I think this one like compares the two men a lot. It is like James McAvoy is this alpha male who's obsessed with taking what you want and having it. And the other guy is like very placid, where he'll let himself be walked all over just to not have confrontation. Because there's a point at the end where McAvoy's character, they go like, oh, you know, why are you doing this to us? And he goes, because you let me.
Yeah, that is literally what you said.
they kind of do, don't they? They keep overstepping the bounds and then going, and they're like, oh, I leave it. And he's like, oh, we're sorry. And then because they don't want the confrontation, well, more him than her, actually.
Yeah, the wife doesn't give a fuck.
Nah. They back up and they stay and they back up. They like give up ground and they. It is like there's a story here in that when pushed to the wall, there's a fucking point where you've got to stand up for your own morals and your own ideals and your right to be who you are, and that you can't just always like defer. And
yeah, I'm looking at my notes now because I forgot to look at them, right? And one of the first things I wrote here is about back a few years ago, like one of the things they talk about in the film, early in the film, when they're like on about the Danish people, I think it's like, oh, they're boring, talking about food all the time. I think it was Danish.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, we're talking about whether you scrunch or you fold, and we're wondering if you fold, if your finger might go through and get a little bit of poop on it or something. But I was thinking that like on the internet a few years back, at least on GRK, people were talking about scrunching and folding. I'm pretty sure there was polls online from like Andrax about that sort of thing. I think it was Andrax. Oh, do you scrunch or fold?
Well, definitely scrunch.
Both. You got to do both.
It's a multifaceted approach, is it? Fold, scrunch, fold, scrunch.
It was daft, though. One of the things, when they left, they could have just left and gone, and they would have been perfectly fine, but because of the stupid fucking bunny rabbit, they went back. It's like, fuck that. Because they could clearly see there was something fucking up, like... after a while, yeah. And they went, and they're like, no, we done. And then they went, oh, we need to get her a bunny. No.
I mean, you should have got the police involved.
Yeah.
Because they'd already seen enough where, you know, had a contact with the police and social services for the lad's sake.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, while you're checking that out, can you get my daughter's bunny, please?
Exactly.
Yeah. Buy her another one and roll it through the dirt a bit and, you know, age it.
The fucking kids and their silly teddies. There was one scene, though. It's like they're having a conversation, the wife and the husband. And then you just see, like, someone watching through the door, the window in the door.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of creepy. Because obviously they're listening on the conversations to find out what's going on and shit. I think it was when they were arguing about her having like some guy's dick on her phone or something.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
There's a lot of like moral conversations this brings up.
Yeah.
Like the whole aspect of she's cheated online or via phone or whatever.
Yeah.
But she blames him for being angry and distant first, and it's like chicken and the egg. Is it his fault, her fault, both faults?
Yeah. I understand that, yeah.
I was going to say there's a case to be made each way, isn't there? It's like this film's version of the Ross and Rachel split.
Yeah.
I did think at the end when... he said, you're not being truthful. And she started saying all the stuff about we're fucked and we're going to split up and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I wonder whether she really had come up to that conclusion and whether she would do that when they got back, or was that some bullshit she was pulling to sound genuine to, you know, back away with, you know?
Yeah. Funny though, because one of the things they say is like, he's like, oh, don't hurt my family. He's like, you don't even love your family. If you did love your family, you would have left this bastard drunk with his parents. Because they threw the kid in the little pond, yeah. Didn't they? And instead of just driving off, he jumped out of the car to go fucking rescue him, which obviously in turn meant all of them were captured.
I mean, that's about the only truly heroic thing he really does.
Yeah.
The woman's the hero. She's the one that's like bleach spraying everyone in the face. And
exactly. She's the one who does all... I actually wrote in my notes, the wifey be kicking ass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even, like, the other woman, the psycho woman, it's, like, her who deals with her by smashing her off a fucking roof and then she falls to her death and dies.
Yeah.
Which is why she falls to her death. She falls to her death and dies. She falls to her death and dies. That's exactly what I'm going with. But I also liked it when the other guy turned up, though, and it's like, why are you going to play with your food? You're like my mum's cat.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? It's like, I'm down with doing this stuff, but you need to stop playing with your food and just get it over with all the time. And he should have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the bit where the little lad takes the girl down into the... I assume I call it a basement, but, you know, under that trapdoor.
Yeah.
And he starts showing her the photos and pointing how the kid changes in each photo. So clearly they're, like, killing the mum and dad, taking the kid,
yeah,
killing the kid they've got, cutting that new kid's tongue out and passing it along down the line. And then he, like, points to him in a photo and then points to her and, like, shows the tongue cut. And I'm like, if you were that girl, you'd have just shit your pants.
Yeah.
That is terrifying. He's basically telling you, you're about to see me get killed and get your tongue cut out if you don't get the fuck out of Dodge right now.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing I didn't understand was the note, really, because he wrote her a note, but he didn't really, and that you couldn't understand the writing, and I don't know why, because the kid is exactly young, so you would have thought they would have been able to read and write.
I think it was in a foreign language.
That's what it could be, yeah.
I think it, because I think that kid is still supposed to be like Danish or something, you know. He's a previous kid they've met. And the back of the, you know, when he goes in that drawer and it's got all the watch, there's one watch the kid turns over and strokes and looks at. And I think that's his dad's watch.
Yeah.
Because the back of that watch is inscribed in foreign writing. So
that's probably where it is then, yeah.
Yeah, that was the clue that kid is Dutch or Danish or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Makes more sense than our understanding it.
I mean, in a way, they could have made this a sequel to the last one if they'd tried a little bit. Because if the 2022 version, the bad people get away with it, they could have started the circle again, you know what I mean? It's
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I was expecting them to get away because they tend to, but not always. Don't get me wrong. Like, there was some films I've seen where the killers kill everyone in the end, and no one survives. But I wasn't expecting the kid to literally lose his nut and smash James McAvoy's face in repeatedly with the fucking boulder.
I thought James McAvoy was going to live and he'd be like bleeding and whatever at the end and then start laughing or something. And then, you know, you'd have a potential sequel at some point. But that kid, he went to town on him.
Yeah, he did. Really went to him. And it's like, that's my boy. Well, at least he got a bunny at the end of it.
Yeah.
Because he was given a bunny. Like the girl who was crying for a bunny constantly.
And the dad got what he wanted because the kid gave away a bunny.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Win-win.
Exactly. You need to remember that. But the thing I think about films like this, right? In general, where it just ends with like the family getting away from like a group of killers or something. It's like, my thing is if the police go there, find these corpses, do they then look for the people who killed them and then put them in jail? Or because I know it doesn't matter at all, but for some reason I'm like, well, they've just drove off, they didn't phone the police to say this is what's happened, we need help, we've also killed these people because they were trying to kill us. It's like, oh, we've just drove home, fuck them.
Well, you know what ruins that as well in this case, the little boy.
Yeah,
because you know they can quite easily get on a plane and fuck off. They can't take him.
No.
They won't have any passport for him, especially if he's like Danish and stuff.
Exactly. Oh,
we've picked this kid up at the duty free. Some people take him a jog, we take him a mute child.
Yeah. Daft, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't know why that popped into my head. It's like loads of films end with them just going away, but like what would actually happen? Like if the police were all of a sudden turned up to find all these dead people, then they'd investigate it, then they'd go to the other people who killed them and just fucking left, and then they'd probably end up in jail. And I don't know why that matters to me, but it does.
You could have ended it with them driving up to a police station or something.
Yeah.
Because to me, realistically, if I had lived through that, that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Because you won't want to spend the whole of your life on the run. You've got the photos. There's exactly. Clearly evidence down in that bunker thing.
Lots I'd of be it. Like,
let's get this fucking sorted out and write it off. You know, maybe we'll have to spend a few nights in a cell and a lot of get this underlined and done and ask for therapy. Because you're going to need some therapy.
Oh, yeah. Lots of therapy, I reckon. Lots. But, I enjoyed this film. I think it was definitely the better of the two films we've watched recently, Assassin's Creed and this. This is by far a better film. Obviously, I don't know how it would have been if I'd seen the original film first, just because of the different endings.
Yeah.
But, don't know if I would have preferred the ending where the family gets murdered. Or where the family doesn't get murdered. Who knows?
It's hard, isn't it? Because part of me almost wanted McAvoy to live. Because it's just the life he breathes into the characters he does. You want to see more of it. But then I also like seeing the little lad get his comeuppance and smash his tormentor's face off. So it's, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously, I haven't seen the original, so I'm wondering, like, do the parents get killed and the daughter get, or child then get taken, or does the child get killed as well as the parent? You know, I don't know anything about that, so maybe I'll have a look at it, see about watching it. Maybe give it a bit, though, before watching it. See what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, if it's half as good as this one, it's watchable.
Yeah.
So.
One thing I didn't realise, right, is... this film was on for longer than I thought. It was on for like an hour and 50 minutes. Obviously, like 10 minutes, that's probably credits. But I didn't realize it was as long as it was. I thought it was like an hour and 20 minutes or something. But I enjoyed it because it, you know, the film is a slow burn. Like,
yeah,
nothing really happens until quite late in the film. Like, it's, like throughout these like instance of, ooh, these people are dodgy. Every so often, there's nothing like really bad apart from him like smacking the kid about, but for the majority of it, it's like not a lot going on.
Yeah,
not a lot of negative stuff going on then, because a lot of the time they seem all right with each other, and then you just have these little instances of, ooh, something's not right here. And then it's like the last like half hour of the film where it's like shit hits the fan, and I like that. Like with the original Alien, it's like something happens at the beginning, then it's a slow burn then until the alien comes along, and then it's a slow burn again until the alien becomes an adult alien, and there's a, you know, slow burning. And I think it works better, especially with a horror film.
It's a building of tension and a building of character at the same time.
Yeah.
You keep getting, the stakes get higher because you care more about the people, but you're more concerned about the threat because that keeps getting like measured up, and it just works well in sort of together bumping up piece by piece.
Yeah. Unlike your mother's dead straight away. You haven't even met them yet. Kind of doesn't kind of hold the same weight.
No, not really.
Yeah. So is there anything else you'd like to add about this film, dude?
No, again, I've got a favourite quote from it.
Ooh, what's that?
And it's the baddie, Paddy the baddie. Technology advanced incredibly, but emotionally speaking, we're all still cave dwellers. It's all this perfect life, Instagram, Facebook, book bullshit. Everybody talking, but nobody honest. It's left us impatient and stressy.
Mm.
Probably the most true thing he says during the whole film.
Yeah. That is a good one. And it's pretty accurate as well. I still like the one where he's like, you like my mum, you play with your food, you're my mum's cat, yeah. When you play with your food. I still like that. It's just so unexpected. You play with your food, you're like my mum's cat. It's like, what the fuck?
That did just come out of nowhere, and it was the perfect sort of sassy, like, material. It's just like, wow. But it also showed that guy's not afraid. You know what I mean? There's clearly some equal partnership between them. Because he's mental, but he can say stuff like that to him. We had him.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's because they're friends or something. So he doesn't mind it as much. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, maybe as well. I think he had more respect for the mum of the family than the dad, because I think he liked people who stood up for what they wanted. I think when she was arguing about, like, her point of view, he liked that more than the man who was like, oh no, let's all make peace.
Yeah.
I think he did have a like for honesty and a like for upfrontness, and he liked people dropping the bullshit and just being straight, because other than, like, hiding, he was going to kill you.
Yeah.
Straight, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to take, and...
Yeah. It does appear to be that way, that he did seem to want to, like, debate a bit, but at the same time he didn't. While he liked that, I think he kind of also at the same time still wanted his own way.
Yeah. Which I think that's often the way, isn't it, with a lot of people, like, who he based it off, like the whole Andrew. They like to have a debate as long as they're managing to keep the upper hand.
Yeah.
People can fight back, but only up to the point that they start to feel they're losing, and then the Mardy factor comes out.
Yeah. And he definitely remembered that she was vegetarian. Yeah, made her eat the duck, or goose even. The golden goose. I think with this, I would give this 8 out of 10. I think it was very good for the most part. I just wouldn't mind seeing the original version now, just to see how it compares.
Yeah, I really liked this. I'm either heading 8 or 9. It's hard to come. But I'll give it an 8.5 for the fact that I can't make a decision.
Perfectly reasonable. I think that's going to be us, though. If you haven't seen Speak No Evil, then check her out. I don't know if you want to watch the original first, just because it ends differently, even though you know how both end now, because we told you. Basically, when it comes to my podcast, make sure you've watched the film first, because there will be spoilers in every episode. It's just the way it is. It's difficult to talk about films and things without going into spoiler territory, you know? At least for me.
I mean, when I do reviews, I often try and talk about the beginning and the middle and leave the end blank. But that's all right, because you only tend to do a review for, well, not like the ones I do, are like 2 minutes, which you can. But when you try and have a long talk about all the themes in a film, it's hard to, like, not spoil it. Because, well, it'd be incredibly short if you went, well, now we're going to stop talking because I don't want to tell you what happens.
Yeah, and exactly.
I do know this film's definitely spoiled the song Eternal Flame for me. You've not heard Eternal Flame till you've heard a James scream at another man, you know.
Yeah, it is great. I think that is going to be us. We will be back, hopefully, in a fortnight. I can't say for certain. But take care, everyone. Thank you, Kerr, for taking part as per usual.
Thanks for having me on again. It's been great.
No worries at all, man. It's great having you on. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Oh, fuck! Oh, mate, your fucking car's on fire. Let's finish it, eh?
We've got one up, Mike.
I told you should have just topped him first thing. Why do you do this, play with your food? You're like my mum's cat.